Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Hey, Scott.
How you doing?
Good.
Well, good.
So we went to a wedding a couple weeks ago. You were there.
I was. I'm going to another one this week, too. I'm going to get weddinged out here, I'm afraid.
Seeing that wedding got me thinking about just how different this wedding was than all of the weddings that I saw at Followers.
Oh, okay.
So, how many weddings do you think you've been to?
Oh, I've probably been to 50 or 100, maybe.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's a wide range. I don't really know.
Right. Well, I was trying to be conservative with this, but okay. I really think that I've probably seen over 300 weddings.
Wow.
And
that's like a spectator sport for you.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, if you'd gone
that's a good way to describe
if you'd
it.
Gone to 300 ball games, I'd say you're quite a fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing about seeing this many weddings, the weddings that I saw in my life were all almost exactly the same. Like they were just a cookie cutter. The colors might be different. The bridesmaids' dresses would be different colors.
Would they have the same number of attendants, bridesmaids and groomsmen?
No.
That would change. Oh, big.
That could change, but it could get really controversial if it did change. If you had too many, that was out of order.
Well, yeah.
There was, but I'm talking the difference between four and six could be just enough to get everybody all worked up about it.
Okay.
And, I never quite could understand it, but.
How many did you have in your wedding?
Oh, boy. I should have thought about it.
I don't remember how many I had either.
I don't remember five or six, probably five or six. But
okay. So you were on the controversial side.
Oh, yeah, usually. you have a lot of friends, hard to cut people out. And these aren't people that travel in. Everyone's going to be there. So if you're not be in it, you're going to be in the audience.
It's not like you met somebody in college in Colorado or something.
Right. No, it's a little different that way. So, a lot of things were controversial about them. The bride's dress was scrutinized, and my family, for example, heard from Walter that the bride shouldn't have a long train because that looked too Catholic, was what I was told. No candles should be lit during the service because that looked too Catholic. Just grown up doing it. So if anybody ever did do that, you know, I was looking around to see if people are talking about this or what. And so anyway, it's a little bit of a sort. Cindy did not have a train on her wedding dress.
Okay.
Because of this, when most everybody else was, and I don't see what the issue was, but it's a little bit of a sore subject, probably even to this day with Cindy. So don't bring that up to her. But
well, maybe we'll find a train, just like clip it on some dress she wears some other time, and she can have one.
So
that might make it even more sore.
Yeah, let's not suggest that idea. But the other thing was, who can perform a wedding? This became an issue over time at Followers. So who has the office or the authority to perform a wedding?
Now, are you asking a legal question or are you asking a church question?
Well, you can answer it either way. Both. In the church. Let's start with the church question.
Well, I don't know the church question because you're telling me about the church you grew up in, so I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I don't think that there is a church answer that I would have necessarily, any more than I would have a church answer about who could baptize or who could, you know, sure. That would be much more democratic or, you know, open, okay. I suppose. However, in order legally to perform a wedding, you have to be ordained or licensed.
Right.
And the ordination and license nowadays don't mean much. I just found a place where you can order one and off the internet, and they would be happy to somehow authorize you to do this. So,
right. For a small fee, right?
I'm sure it's 50 bucks or something. Yeah. But the thing is, it doesn't matter. You know, that doesn't matter anymore. It used to matter. In fact, I used to have to, like, log my license down at the courthouse so that they would know that I'm not just making this up when I sign a marriage certificate. So,
yeah. Well, as you answered that question, that you wouldn't have a different answer, just like you wouldn't for baptism or something like that. We've talked about it on here before. The followers, it kind of was the same. You had to have the authority to baptize. Well, you also had to have the authority. You had to hold the office to be able to marry. So Walter did that. But then when Walter died, they didn't know what to do for a while. And this was, my mom and dad were 17 when Walter died and getting married the next year and had to...
Oh, they actually had to be in a place where they had to figure it out.
Yeah.
They were part of figuring it out. Interesting.
Yeah, they were. And the church, they tried a couple of different things. They brought in a justice of the peace from outside the church
into the church
to do the ceremony there.
Oh, and interesting.
I can't remember all the details, but it didn't go well. They didn't like the way that went. So
not to officiate your parents.
No.
But that time, though.
Around that time, after Walter died and before the elders started doing the way. Eventually, the elders started doing it. But they didn't know if they could at first. So my parents actually went to a courthouse, I believe, to get married and then came back to the church for a reception. But that got controversial because they didn't invite the right people to the courthouse to witness the ceremony, and people were offended over that. I remember hearing this story growing up. But.
Well, the reality is people get offended in weddings and bridal showers and baby showers and all the things that are surrounding this, in any context. I can imagine, though, that when it was really kind of the same. You know, the same people are doing all of the same things. Then it does become probably more so, more political, more problematic if the wrong people are not involved.
Right. And when you're in a place where everything is always done the same, if you step one step away from that, then a lot of times it's taken as you're making some kind of a statement or a judgment that you don't agree with how it has been done, so you're doing something different. But they were just in a place where nobody really knew what to do, I think. And so some people were having weddings at home and having the justice of the peace come to their house to do the wedding in the backyard, and then they'd go to the church for the reception. But eventually the elders started, they went and got licensed, I guess, or something, and started marrying people. Well, then in 1986, the last elder died, and the men of the church got together and voted. Like, we had to decide then what are church services going to look like? What are weddings going to look like? And one of the most important things to come out of that is we need to continue to do church weddings. That's what we call them. They've got to be church weddings. By then, they learned they didn't want to do the justice of the peace anymore. So they voted that the board members, we had some board members for the church with no, you might say, religious or spiritual office of any kind, but just they just were board members for the church.
Or board something, okay.
So they went and got licensed by the state to be able to perform the weddings at church. So, and then that's since 1986. That's when I say they're just a cookie cut. They've looked the same ever since then. So, it's I've seen a lot of you do them. We do them about every 2 weeks. I mean, not every 2 weeks, but they can't be. They're on a Friday night every time, and they can't be closer than 2 weeks apart. So
would only one couple per time, per weekend, or would sometimes there be two or three?
None in my lifetime that I remember, but there had been multiple people get married at once, at double weddings, but in my lifetime it was one couple every 2 weeks, especially the year that we got married. We actually tried to have a church meeting to see if we could have them more often than every 2 weeks, because we didn't want long engagements, but it was decided by the men that was too hard on all the people, on the congregation to
throw
that many parties. And I mean, to be fair, the generosity of the followers was pretty amazing, really.
I wouldn't be surprised, right?
When we got married, we lived in an apartment at first, but it was fully furnished. We had nothing.
By gifts from the church?
Yeah, gifts for our wedding.
Wow. And
plus a few thousand dollars in cash, too, on top of that. So it's very generous, and the thought was that was too much to ask to have people do that more than every 2 weeks, because everybody got that, you know.
Right. Wow.
But,
you know, the whole church situation is probably good, because people got wind of that. They would probably kind of join the church in order to get married there and have, you know, that kind of generosity bestowed on them. But, I mean, seriously, that is, you know, marriage is one of those things that people think about, joining a church or not joining a church, too, at the time that they're getting married. And
interesting.
So I don't know that that's the case, but that is very attractive that they were that generous. I think that's really great.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. I'm sure that wasn't a concern for us, because no one could join anyway.
That's what I mean. What I mean. It would be.
Yeah.
Would have been really interesting had that been an option.
Right. Right.
That's a very generous policy.
Yeah, it would. And then, I just remember listening to that wedding we just went to, and how much the pastor that performed the wedding was talking about this being a covenant, about this. It was Christ-centered, the whole service. It just struck me, and how different that was from my wedding or any of the weddings that I had seen. And so I think I can pretty much remember from memory the service. Like our wedding starts at 8 p.m. on the dot. I mean, the guys walk out from the back room to come out and sing the first wedding song at 8 p.m. no matter what, and you better be there. And I've never seen one be late. It's
okay
every time. And so they come out, they sing the song that you pick. Then the groomsmen come out from the other side of the back room, wait in line. The bridesmaids come walking down the center aisle.
And that's the same every time?
Same every time.
Interesting.
Okay. There were a couple little tweaks for the most part.
One of the ways that people tweak their experiences.
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah. But then you're the father of the bride usually walks the bride down the aisle, hands them off to the groom. You walk up the steps onto the pulpit, and then the board member performing the service says, We are gathered here tonight to join these two young brethren in marriage. We know that marriage is honorable and acceptable in God's eyes. So when two people have stayed in the church and chosen one another from the church to marry, it is a happy occasion. It has been proven that you will have a good life and a happy marriage if you do the things that have been taught. And then go into the...
You are. I mean, you're like looking at me while you're saying that. Like you're not you're not cheating or reading. This is like, wow.
Yeah,
I believe that you've seen a lot of weddings, if that's the case.
Yeah. And then it's, Mark, do you take Cindy to be your lawfully wedded wife, to love, care for, and cherish as long as you both shall live? And then, Cindy, do you take Mark to be your lawfully wedded husband, to love, care for, and obey as long as you both shall live? And then you walk back around. They sing another song while you're standing up there in front of everybody. And then you walk up.
Rings?
Yes, rings. You may kiss the bride. And then they sign the license, the witnesses, your best man and maid of honor sign the license while they're playing that song. That's all done up on the pulpit.
Okay.
And then after that song is over, then you have to walk up to the pulpit as the newlyweds, and the groom thanks everyone for coming. And the speech was pretty cookie cutter on that too, like every time. And it was just, I'd like to thank everyone for coming out, the band for singing and playing, all the nice gifts. It really means a lot. Thanks. And then you walk off. Some people started to thank people for help on their house or the help on the wedding. I mean, this was, I don't know how much you'd have to pay for one of these weddings if you paid for it, but volunteer work for flowers and
the venue.
The cake, yeah. The venue's free. Right. Yeah. So so that's it. And it's over in like 8 minutes or something. You're done. And then it's just dancing with live music in the back while everybody's taking pictures in the other part. And it's, and it lasts until 11 p.m. that night. And then you're off.
Okay.
But I just wonder, what are your thoughts when you hear that this is part of the service? That the part that really sticks with me is that it has been proven that you will have a good life and a happy marriage if you do the things that have been taught.
One of the things that is interesting to me as I hear you say this is how much more this is integrated into the church experience.
Mm-hmm.
See, for like the next one I'm going to go to is some venue that's not a church, and the person doesn't go to our church, so there's not this strong integration into the life of the church, which I think is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
And that's probably part of the reason that it emphasized staying in the church and marrying somebody from the church and doing these things, because, you know, that level of, I'll just say it, that level of integration into a community is going to give a level of support and accountability and help to that marriage that you don't get when you just sort of freelance it, which is really probably more customary outside of the followers, is that it's just that we'll go to this venue, we'll have this preacher do it, we'll get, you know, these band members that I knew when I was a kid, and this is, you know, these are the, you sort of piecemeal it together.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're done, they're married, and what's left is a lot more piecemeal than this.
Yeah.
Even though for the lack of, you know, variety or, you know, pizzazz in the ceremony itself, the integration into the community is admirable in some regard.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And that it also, on the flip side of that, I feel like it's also an added pressure to remain part of this community. Like it's a...
Oh, I'm sure.
It's an insistence almost, it feels like. And mm-hmm. and that's what I feel like that is, that if... Because that's quite a promise. You will have a good life and a happy marriage if you do the things that have been taught. The statement made is that it's been proven that this is true.
An interesting thing to say.
Yeah. And I remember when that statement was changed. I was working with one of the board members at the time, and the statement was changed from it's been proven that you'll have a good life and a happy marriage if you do the things that you've been taught. It was changed from that to the things that have been taught. And his reasoning for that was because he had lost confidence in what individuals had been taught.
Oh, interesting.
And so the reference is back to the church tradition.
Right.
It is. It's been proven that your best hope for happiness, a good life and a happy marriage, is to remember our church traditions. This wedding that I just went to, your hope and your happiness is dependent on Jesus, not on church traditions. It was Christ-centered. And I think that's a huge difference. I mean, that's a huge difference, like 180 degrees.
Right.
So I just think that's important to say. Like I said, I don't want to make it sound like... I don't think that makes any of the marriages bad or anything like that.
Frankly, marriages that have, you know, the weddings that have Christ at the center doesn't make their marriage better.
No.
Either.
No.
On the flip side.
No. But if it is a covenant relationship between two people that do have Christ at the center of their life, that's where the hope and the happiness are going to come from, not...
Right,
not from any church tradition or.
Well, and you can't have happiness given to you by other people.
Right,
I mean they might, you know, furnish your apartment or give you silverware or whatever.
Yeah,
but really only the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, is going to give peace in that marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and you know the part of it is we would talk about in a prideful way that everybody else, the world, gets divorced. We don't. So that's how we know this to be true, that you will have a good life and a happy marriage if you do the things that have been taught.
That's the proof.
This is the proof, mm-hmm. is that we don't get divorced like the world does. And it's just... And if you use the whole world as your comparison, then, I mean, you can't really argue with the statistics. The percentage was really low for divorce at Followers.
So, right.
But I was married for about, I think, 24, 25 years when I came to faith in Jesus. And now I've been married about 6 years since, and... It is different. Marriage is even different to me now. And yeah, it's just different. I'm having a hard time putting into words how it's different.
So, I mean, going back to the line in the ceremony, you'll have a good life and a happy marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, is that the difference? Or is it really, I know, still have it. We had a happy marriage then, we still have a happy marriage now. How is that part of it?
Yeah, no, we did. I mean, we had, because I'm part of it, it wasn't happy all the time, but we've had a great marriage with some ups and downs, but it wasn't that it was not good then and it is good now.
Right.
It was good then, it's better now.
So the difference isn't the quality necessarily. It's what is the difference, and more the like how you understand it or how you appreciate it or how valuable it is to you.
Yeah. Well, let's use the line from "You'll have a good life and a happy marriage." Well, it's I measure a good life and a happy marriage differently now than I did before.
Okay. That's really interesting.
A good life was being able to vacation and not having to worry about where my next meal was coming from ever and things like that. It was based on what we could go do together. A happy marriage was just that. How can we please each other? And that, mm-hmm. and it was just the two of us, and that's it. But now, happiness and goodness are just measured differently. With Christ involved, it's just different. There's a level of goodness and happiness that you can't have without Him. And it's, I don't know how else to say it. It's...
Well, one of the lines that I use sometimes when I'm doing a prayer at a ceremony is that may they join hands to serve others side by side. So, that's a little bit of the difference probably is that there is a sense in which together you and Cindy are, looking outside of your marriage and serving in a different way than maybe you were when you were just pleasing each other, what I mean? That might be part of it.
Yeah, no, for sure. And a big part of it, too, that I'm just as I'm thinking about this, is that our identity is different now, that we're still married, but when we were trying to have a good life and a happy marriage before, it was so dependent on what others thought of us. And how we appeared to others. And now with our identity in Christ, there can be joy even when you know that people don't agree with you or have problems with you. It's I'm not getting this word very well, but it's different and it's better. And so I mean, I think the Bible talks about this in Ephesians 5, the wedding, marriage is symbolic of Christ and the church, and that...
Want me to read that?
Yeah, do you have that up?
Yeah, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband."
Yeah. Yeah, that's I think about the way that I'll just say I misinterpreted that scripture. And when you hear, we like to stop on wives submit to your husbands, and that's I think where we get the obey from in the vows that we made, but that morphed even into an idea where I was told multiple times that a wife can even do the wrong thing and be guilt-free if she's doing what her husband told her to do. So it, like, makes her not responsible for her own salvation even, for her own relationship with Jesus,
Okay.
And Gary talked about that a little bit, and Maria both, when they were on here, about Maria kind of put that pressure on Gary. It's, you've got to figure this out and then tell me what to do.
Right. Yeah. Right. And, that's right.
And I think there's a lot of that. And I think that's a misinterpretation of, if we get the idea that I'm somehow responsible for Cindy's relationship with Jesus. I think we're missing what that is saying there. But
well, I mean, responsible for is one thing. I mean, there is a clear picture here that you're to serve her and mm-hmm. then serve her relationship with Jesus and mm-hmm. nourish and cherish her and help her to be, you know, presentable, you might say, to the Lord. And yeah. I mean, there is a sense in which you serve her, but not in a sense in which she has no responsibility of her own on it.
You right.
know, or she's right. like free from making her own decisions on it.
And I think maybe let me say it a different way. If Cindy is to find acceptance from God, peace with God, it's not going to be because I found it and she gets it through me. Because remember, when I was trying to sort this all out at Followers, Jesus was not part of it. It was just religion mm-hmm. and needing acceptance from God. So I've got to figure out what to do to get acceptance from God. And as long as Cindy's doing what I'm telling her to do, she's going to automatically get that acceptance. Like, and I just think that is a terrible...
She's accepted whether you are or not.
Whether I am or not.
As long as she's listening to you.
Because she told me what to do. Hmm. And so I think this is another example where we took Jesus out of God's plan for salvation and put something else in its place. I think I become the mediator for Cindy
put
in this case.
Put marriage in its place.
Put marriage within the church hmm. in its place. You know, it's...
Well, I think it's easy to do too much or too little, really, mm-hmm. with marriage, either one.
Yeah.
Where it's, like I said, everyone just kind of piecemeals it together and freelances on their own, and then they look at each other a year later, and they're trying to figure out, do we belong to a community or any of that?
Right.
There's too little, and then there's right. too much, where, you know, lots of other religions, too, put way a lot of pressure and meaning and, you know, centrality on marriage.
But, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I do think, I definitely don't want to make it sound like I don't think marriage is important, because I think it's, I think we can read through the, I mean, what you just sure. read in Ephesians, it's very important, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, it comes from God himself in Genesis yeah. 2, and it's really just the two of them when they're encountering the mm-hmm. the serpent, and, you know, their marriage is part of really the centerpiece of human rebellion against God as well.
Right.
And then it's, you know, here, what we just read in Ephesians, it's a picture of Christ and the church. And then even more than that, it's a picture of the final joy and celebration at what's called in Revelation, the wedding supper of the Lamb. So there's mm-hmm. there's just this whole theme throughout the Bible of the importance of the marriage or the wedding. But all of it points not to itself. I think this is yeah. some of it. It points beyond itself to Christ and his love for his people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And so we talked about the wives submitting to your husband's part, but husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That is nothing that I ever gave any thought to for the first 25 years of my marriage, and I wouldn't have even known what that meant. How does Christ love the church? I wouldn't have known what that meant, and it certainly, I didn't see the fruit of other people knowing what that meant either. By the way, married couples interacted with each other. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the fruit that we as the men at Followers understood that we were to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And so I know that's a deep one, but just briefly, what would you say is, how does Christ love the church?
Well, I mean, the text itself said so.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have to make this up. It just said, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And it's really this a sacrificial love that takes into account the good of the wife, not the good of the husband. And that's, yeah, that's upside down of kind of even making one another happy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's good. And
but it's not easy. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, with every choice that I make to love mm-hmm. Marcia or not, I'm making a choice about really my own, you know, there's a, to some degree, my own fulfillment or my own happiness or my own,
yeah,
you know, being central in the mm-hmm. the marriage. I mean, in some respect, I'm just laying down my wants and desires for her. And that's, I think, the call to love Christ, to love as Christ loves the church.
Yeah. Wouldn't we make it so much easier for our wives to submit to us if we were loving them that way? I mean,
you would hope. Yeah. Verse 29 there says, no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. So there's this mm-hmm. nourishing and cherishing. And I think if husbands nourished and cherished their wives, I mean, it's that's a lot different than being in authority over.
Right.
To nourish and cherish is to, you know, she's precious and you're doing for her what needs to be done so that she might be healthy and happy.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, that's where it comes, where Christ as an example to husbands is great. Mm-hmm. But in some respect, the other interesting thing about this Ephesians passage is it isn't so much, some of it is Christ's example for husbands,
yeah.
But some of it is the example of the husband and wife are a picture,
yeah.
especially when rightly done, of the beauty of the love that Christ has for his church and the response the church has to Christ. And that, I think, is the mystery mm-hmm. of having a Christ-centered marriage.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really what just struck me, like I said, when we went to that wedding, was it was just a different, the ceremony was just completely different. And it was pointed in that direction rather than the centerpiece of it being that two people stayed in the one right church and found each other from the one right church. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I would hope others would do the same, would read Ephesians 5 and would not, you know, as a man at Followers, it's really easy to just want to and enjoy that authority that you have and take advantage of it because you have that authority. And we talked, it's been a while ago now on this, but when we were talking about authority and Christ's authority, that he used that authority to give his life for his people and for the church. And that's more what we want to do as husbands with that authority that you have as the head. You are the head as Christ is the head of the church. So, I just think that's what probably what I would want to say about weddings and just how different it was and how thankful I am to have that change, to be able to see that change.
Well, there's a lot more. I mean, it's you might say it's a little bit like black and white versus color mm-hmm. in that, you know, you had some of the things that you could distinguish and it was black and white, and in black and white, not as many people get divorced. That's fine.
Yeah.
But in color, you see contours and you see expressions of what Jesus did for us in the very choices you have to make about, you know, loving your wife.
Right.
And so there is this sort of, you know, you might even say four G display.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right? Is that even right? I don't know.
No, that's
internet.
5G is the internet. Is that? 4K?
Four something or other.
Yeah, that's probably even
anyway,
old now.
A really, really good picture.
Yeah.
There you go. So you can listen to us.
This is not a tech.
Listen to us.
It's not a tech podcast.
Good
for sure.
Thing. Yeah. So. But anyway, all that to say that when you see Christ in the church in relationship to your own marriage, it does have a different color to it than it does otherwise. That's what the point I was trying to make.
There you go. Well, it was hard to find a hymn that really
there you go.
Was connected
you
to...
You could sing a love song to Cindy. That would be... Everyone would love that.
No, I said our marriage is good.
Our ratings will go through the roof here.
No. No. Okay, not that. No, that's not going to
work. You flatly refuse.
Yep.
All right.
So we would sing a song called Are You Washed in the Blood? And it says, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And then here's the wedding connection. When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? And then the final verse says, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I think if we can, I mean, there's so much good stuff in there about trusting in his grace and resting in the crucified and being, that's what being part of the church is. That's what being the bride of Christ is and waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. And I just want people to be focused on that rather than thinking that they're going to find a good life and a happy marriage by being married in the right place. And so I think I want them to look in 4K.
It is 4K. I just looked it up. Like, yes, it's 4K.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My bad. But
yeah. But yeah, I just want, I want people to experience the same thing that I have, the difference that I've seen, and go from a good life and a happy marriage, find that in Jesus instead of anything else.
Yeah, and I do hope it'll be a richer experience because people do.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.